When you're communicating with pro se parties, it is fraught with ethical issues, and so you just need to be careful. So let's talk about the ethical framework we're going to be working with here. The first rule is Rule 4.3 of the Texas Disciplinary Rule of Professional Conduct. This rule is dealing with unrepresented persons. So Rule 4.3 provides, and I'll read it to you since you can't see it, in dealing on behalf of a client with a person who is not represented by counsel, a lawyer shall not state or imply that the lawyer is disinterested. When the lawyer knows or reasonably should know that the unrepresented person misunderstands the lawyer's role in the matter, the lawyer shall make reasonable efforts to correct the misunderstanding. So there's really two parts to this rule. The first one is you need to make sure the unrepresented party has a firm understanding or some understanding of your role, that you're an advocate, right? You're not disinterested. And you're representing your client, and you're not there as a neutral authority on the law. This is important because setting that up with an unrepresented party kind of colors their view of everything else you say to them. They know you're representing somebody. They're not going to take your word on the law or the facts or whatever else. The second part of this is if there is some sort of mistaken impression by the unrepresented party, you have a duty to take some effort to correct it. And again, we want to make sure that the paradigm you're working under is that the unrepresented party knows you're an advocate. Now, the reason for this rule, which is in the comments, the Texas rule, is that an unrepresented person, particularly one who's not experienced in dealing with legal matters, might assume that a lawyer is disinterested in loyalties or disinterested in authority on the law, even when the lawyer represents a client. So obviously the goal here is you don't want to have the unrepresented party rely on you when obviously you're an adversary. Okay, the second rule that applies to these situations is Rule 4.1. Rule 4.1 says, and this is truthfulness in statements to others, in the course of representing a client, a lawyer shall not knowingly make a false statement of material fact or law to a third person, or fail to disclose a material fact to a third person when disclosure is necessary to avoid making the lawyer a party to a criminal act or knowingly assisting a fraudulent act perpetrated by a client. So 4.3 really sets you up. You want to make sure the unrepresented party knows you're an advocate. You're not disinterested. 4.1 says, now otherwise, in the context of your communications, you can't lie to the unrepresented party, right? And so between those two rules, it really gives you the framework for dealing with unrepresented parties. Okay, I also want to mention the ABA Model Rule 4.3. It's very similar to Texas, but it does lay out in the text of the rule that one of the things you should not do is you should not give legal advice to an unrepresented person. And the only advice you can give them is to obtain counsel, particularly if this person may be or is adverse to you, right? So if, here we go. All right, there's the quote I gave you. That's Mr. Royal. Getting caught up here. Okay. So the ABA model rules, it's basically like Texas, but they have this extra provision that I've italicized. And they've explained the purpose of their rule, which I think is also articulated well. The possibility that a lawyer will compromise the unrepresented person's interest is so great that the rule prohibits giving of any advice apart from the advice to obtain counsel. Okay. And so when you're dealing with unrepresented persons, that's the most you can do in giving advice. You can tell them to get counsel. You could suggest legal aid. You can refer them to an approved referral service. But that's the most you can do when dealing with unrepresented parties as far as giving advice. Okay, so what is impermissible advice? Well, like everything in our world, it depends. For me, it's kind of like you know it when you see it, right? I think we all know when you're crossing the line. But the ABA says it really depends on the circumstances. Whether a lawyer is giving impermissible advice may depend on the experience and sophistication of the unrepresented person, as well in the setting in which the behavior and comments occur. So obviously, if you're talking to a sophisticated executive who is a purchaser of legal services, that's much different than talking with someone who doesn't have a lot of formal education and maybe speak a different language. You know, it's going to depend. So this all goes back to the tenet under Rule 4.3, which is you need to make sure the unrepresented person knows your role and they understand it, that you're an advocate. So the comment two to the model rule lays out some specific examples of what you can do. So as long as you tell the unrepresented person that you're not representing them, you're adverse, you can inform them of the terms on which your client will settle or enter into an agreement. You can prepare documents that require that person's signature. You can explain your own view of the document and its meaning. You can explain your own view of the underlying legal obligations. And I think that makes sense, right? We don't have to abandon our jobs as advocates when dealing with unrepresented persons.